Hello, everyone. Welcome to the third episode of the Influencer Factor podcast, an influencer podcast by the Influencer Marketing Factory. We are an influencer marketing agency. We mostly help brands and companies engage with Gen Z and millennials on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. And today we have a really hot topic. Everyone is talking about it, the metaverse. You know, it's quite interesting to talk about it today. And I have two fantastic team members with me today. So do you want to present yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm Marcella, Junior Creative Strategist here at the Influencer Marketing Factory.
Hey, guys. I'm Hash. I am based here in the UK. I look after the EMEA regions, and I'm an account director.
Fantastic. Welcome to both of you. Ash, first time on the podcast. And Marcella is the now resident. So, you know, it's good to have you back. Today in the podcast, we're going to just to give a sort of agenda for the people listening. We're going to go through three, I'd say, main items today. So first of all, we're going to go and break down what is the metaverse. It's such a hot topic. And sometimes I'd say there is some confusion. To be honest, I also had myself to read a lot through it because there are different opinions on what is the concept of the metaverse itself, first of all. And then we're going to go through some of the case studies because, of course, as an agency, we love to talk about practical, you know, like usage of something, right? And lastly, since we are an influencer marketing agency, how we can actually see the future of the metaverse and influencers and the influencer marketing as an industry within the metaverse. It's gonna take definitely some time, I'd say, for like the metaverse develop in the right way. And of course, also influencer marketing is not gonna be something overnight. So, you know, it's gonna be definitely interesting to see what is gonna happen and how brands are gonna embrace this new type of thing. That again, is not that new on some parts, but it's totally new on some others. So there is something that we're gonna go and see. Let's start like saying, what is the metaverse? And I know that we have some notes here. I don't know if any of us want to read the one of the definition that we found out. So again, for listeners, they have like just an idea, didascalic idea of what is it.
You can definitely do that. The metaverse is a set of virtual spaces where you can create and explore with other people who aren't in the same physical space as you. You'll be able to hang out with friends, work, play, learn, shop, create, and more. It's not necessarily about spending more time online. It's about the time you spend online more meaningful.
Nice, nice. I do also have another one. I don't know if you actually want to read it through.
I was going to say my sort of little take on metaverse, which I kind of picked up on, was similar to Marseille, is kind of the merging of the physical and digital worlds. With the likes of, let's say, someone like Facebook or Microsoft being the facilitators of that. And it's kind of like the evolution of the evolution. So if we call that sort of Web 3.0, so kind of making a bit more of a decentralized ecosystem. But yeah, that's kind of my side, kind of going a little bit.
What I like to think about it is like, in the early 2000s, they are coming back on TikTok and in other platforms too. Like, it's a trend now. It's like, I feel like the metaverse, it's like the early 2000s for the internet and the computer. So it's like a very infant phase where we are just discovering how things will work out, which hardware will be involved, tools, economies, and things like that. So I think it's just only the beginning on what we'll see in like 10 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I do remember 3 years ago when I was invited to this event in Miami, and we had to try, I think it was maybe Horizon or some other project from Facebook with Quest, you know, the Oculus. And I don't remember exactly which product, what was that, but I do remember that it was one of the first experiences to go into this, into the metaverse. But I do remember these. The graphics of it were really basic, because you were experimenting on the technology and not on the final product. So I do agree with you what you just said. Like, it's like the first video games, right? It was about the experience of the user. And when you're a kid, you can imagine everything, right? So I'm not saying that this is for kids. It's also for adults, especially for adults, right? But I do agree on that. Like, it's still at the beginning. Now we are focusing mostly on how, like, if you move the facial expression, what is going to happen to your avatar and so on, more than on the graphics. If you see the graphics now, the majority of the metaverse projects are kind of basic, you know? So I do agree. It's going to take time, first of all, for people to understand what it is. And then after, I'd say many years, we're going to see good product, right? Something that you really like, you know, are excited about. There are like a couple of, I'd say main main terms that I want to talk about still while we discuss about what it is the metaverse. And this is from an article. I don't remember now. You know, maybe we do have the link. We're going to also put in the description of the podcast. But two terms, and I want to also hear what you guys think about this. But one is the interoperability and one is the persistence, okay? So two important concepts to understand what is the metaverse, right? So the idea is that nowadays it's like a lot of people think that the metaverse is like, okay, you just go to this other place, right? Someone says there is not a place, it's a time, right? And the interesting thing is like, how can you actually like have this avatar that doesn't change wherever you go? So you go into Roblox, then you go into Fortnite, then you go to a concert, like a metaverse concert. It's always you with your shirt that you bought by maybe a big brand, you know, and so on. So what do you think about this opportunity, first of all, and also the difficulties around these two terminology, right? Because on paper are easy, but technically speaking are quite difficult to create.
This is really interesting because we are used to have like for social media, we have different social media and we log in into different social media. The problem right now, it's how to be able to go from one to another. Because of course you cannot enter Roblox and at the same time go to, I don't know, let's say Fortnite, for example. This is the thing that we're going to face like right after we're going to get used to the metaverse. We're going to be like, now that I'm in this virtual reality where my physical reality is less important, let's say, because what I do in the physical reality right now is what I will do in the virtual reality next. Like work, hang out with friends, going to concerts, shops and things like that.
Got it. Yeah. Ash, what do you think about this one? Do you see there is an identity that is unique? Is it possible in the short term, or do you see it coming?
Yeah, I think I agree. It's the same sort of thing. Is it will be kind of platform led until someone owns it, and that will be the fight for the brands. Is kind of like you need a one ecosystem, which then transfers you kind of from one to the next. You can see it on like even Zoom as an example, which we're kind of working on now. You can see how it will play out here. You can see how it will play out on all the different platforms. But it's like, what will bring it together so that you've got one avatar or you've got one sort of profile of yourself? We'll come on to some of the brand examples who are kind of, you can see where they're moving towards some of the sort of more innovative brands like Nike and Burberry and brands like that. They are kind of ahead of the curve. But I think that will be kind of the biggest challenge, is kind of bringing everything together. So your personality is one personality per sort of ecosystem rather than 10 different personalities on this game, this game, this game.
Exactly. Also, because I mean, what is quite interesting to me, it is that there will exist work like jobs in the metaverse that do not exist in the physical world, right? Like, so you can sell burgers in the metaverse, or you can sell, like, you can actually do shifts, like, you know, in the metaverse. Like, it's crazy if you think about it. I mean, it's crazy maybe for people like, you know, in the 30s and 40s and 50s and so on, but it's not that crazy for someone that is 10 years old, right? So the idea is that there's going to be a virtual economy. And I think that maybe at the beginning it's going to be a virtual economy with certain coins that are going to be used there. And then you can use in the real world, right? So you can, as for crypto, you can then change it back to US dollars, to euro, whatever, and use it and spend it. But what if in 20 years that we're going to only have, not only, but we're going to have a virtual economy that has its own rules, and actually you will not even think about it to change it to US dollars. So maybe you're gonna be like, we play the same game. I mean, at the end of the day, economy is like being on the same page, playing the same game. I do agree that $1 is this amount of food, whatever, right? If I do agree that these coins can buy me like a t-shirt in the metaverse, and I don't even care about going outside the metaverse and change these dollars, like this amount of the coins to dollars, then it's going to be an inside economy. And I'm just thinking out loud. Imagine that maybe to unlock certain metaverse places, you have to travel there. It's going to take the time to travel like you do, right? So 8 hours to go from Europe to the States, it's going to take the same time with your Oculus on. If you stop the game, like the metaverse there is going to go back to the same moment. And so you're going to experience like the same. So also that is going to be interesting. Like if I'm putting 8 hours of, let's say, real work in the real world, then I'm going to still need 8 hours in the metaverse, right? Because that is it. Like a video game, the difference is that the time goes faster. You can pause it. You can teleport you wherever you want. You can save the game and go back. But the idea of the metaverse it is that you are there, right? It's mostly you. It's your identity just duplicating in the metaverse. And we're going to see things like, you know, I was reading about this, but like, you know, virtual jobs, virtual currency in the marketplace, virtual clothing, accessories, experiences, we saw that already, right? The virtual concerts, virtual meetups, that happens already. I saw many, many people, you know, doing meetups online. Maybe you cannot meet someone that is on the other part of the globe, but you can do that thanks to that. And I saw videos of people going to the movies, but actually you are into like with the Oculus on, and you both of you have that. You sit together at the movie theater, and you can command that, right? So, and this is not now, this was like already 3-4 years ago. What do you think about that? Do you see that it's something like, again, for everyone, it's mostly for the younger generation, the Gen Alpha, that is going to get used to it? Or at the end of the day, all of us in some way, even if we don't want to, we're going to have to change this mindset and get into the metaverse?
Yeah, I think it's super interesting. I think where if we look at all of the tech companies who are in a big way sort of building this out, they've been building it for quite some time. We as consumers only see what they want to share at this point. So for instance, 4 or 5 years ago, I used to go to Vegas for CES show, and it was Samsung virtual reality, and everything was virtual reality, home automation and everything. But it wasn't something which consumers from a social marketing point of view were buying into, because the cost was really expensive. You couldn't just buy the Oculus headset, which was maybe $300, $400. You had to have a very powerful computer to then process that as well, because it was kind of a bit clunky. So I think it will, the more it becomes mass market, which is why the likes of Snap brought out Snap Spectacles, or Facebook recently brought out the Ray-Ban collaboration, the more they can make it into something which consumers are like, maybe at the beginning a bit like, not so sure about that. But over time, they come to realize, I guess, there are some benefits to it. It's like that whole change and shift with Uber's always a great example. There was a time where you would never, ever, if you had kids, let your kids just go into a car, not know who they're with or anything, and just go and just travel around the city. Whereas Uber was that, and that was a massive, massive social change. And so I think that's where, until that shift happens, which has been in the process for a very, very long time, hence Facebook changing their name now, which I think is a really interesting timing of them changing their name as well, because they're kind of trying to shift away from what they are kind of perceived as and seen as right now. So yeah, I think it's a really sort of interesting time for everything to be happening now. It's been happening for quite some time in the background, but I think it's coming to the forefront a little bit more. Still a long way away, but it's interesting to see which brands are jumping onto it right now.
And nowadays, it's mostly about gaming experiences, right? Mostly because gaming, it's always like, you know, one step ahead. Like gaming goes fast, especially with things like Roblox, where the creator, like the player becomes the creator, that becomes the solopreneur, because some kids are making thousands of dollars, if not some of them, like millions of dollars every year. So it really go fast and goes like without maybe the regulations that other industries need. Because if you want to create maybe a conference, you need to go through like, you know, B2B vendors type of things and certificates. But when it comes to games, like it's taken less seriously on the one end. So like on the other end, you can be like, let's play around with these things. And so now that's why we see a lot of these, especially in the gaming, but it's going to maybe take a bit more for having people in like, again, conferences and so on, because again, it's people with usually like a different age, right? So first of all, it's about the mindset and the approach, while you have a kid that is like, I love it, let's do that. It's even better than real life. And instead for conferences, then you have to like imagine, like you have to start asking to people that were used to traveling and everything to take like an Oculus on, and there's going to be this gap of technology savvy type of things, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see what is happening. And I do agree with you, Ash, in terms of like also all the Facebook getting into Meta. You know, it's you know, like it's just interesting to say, like for them it's like, okay, we do have already in the pipeline already working on, you know, Oculus, but they, and Quest, but they also have like, you know, Nazar, they have Horizon, they have Project Cambria, right? A lot of different things that if you see it, all of them, they are into VR, AR, you know, and so they were like, you know, instead of going and continuing this big war against other social media, or, you know, like we've been around from a long time now, let's go and change it to the Meta. And I'd say that was a click, because there were a lot of mini players, but was missing someone that was, you know, getting into these as a new core, right, business, and having more money into that. So I think that way to go is going to definitely help the overall industry, and not just Facebook getting into Meta. You know what I mean? It's going to just show to the others, okay, if they got into this so big, then there is a lot of opportunities, you know?
It's like Facebook bringing this to the masses. Generation Alpha is already building their personas online with avatars. They're like Emma Chu, the global director of Wonderman Thompson Intelligence, says, we're going to shift from direct to consumer to direct to avatar. So everything is going towards the avatar in the metaverse for brands, for platforms, for user-generated content as well, as you mentioned on Roblox, for example.
So cool, yeah. I mean, like we said about the you know, the direct, from going direct to consumer, DTC to DTA, direct to avatar. So quite interesting to see, again, the concept of the economy going to virtual economy, but you actually have to start with like real money and go to virtual and so on. So it's going to be also interesting to see all the economy part there, the regulations, rules, law that is going to be involved, because nowadays there is no regulation. But you know, what if you get something that is illegal in the metaverse? Like, what is going to happen? So that is going to be also interesting. But that is definitely something that is going to maybe be for another podcast. But I wanted to see like some of the case studies, because again, it's nice to talk about like what is the metaverse. We already said some of the names, but I know that we have like a look around, right, and look for the best case studies about, you know, how to use the metaverse. I don't know if one of you want to maybe go, Ash, maybe do you want to see more about like any that you saw that really got your attention lately?
Yeah, I was going to say the one which is sort of most recent, it's around sort of Nike, basically. And I'm not sure if you guys sort of saw, it's just to do with them actually patenting and trademarking virtual goods, which then just opens up a whole new arena. They're definitely one of the brands which is at the forefront. And I think what they're saying is the ability to be able to purchase, again, both digitally and physically at the same time. So the example being that if you then purchase a pair of sneakers, you then have the opportunity within sort of a created marketplace and metaverse to actually be able to then get a limited edition, which is on the blockchain. So there's one of one, et cetera. So you can see how this will work from like a retail sort of standpoint. And it merges everything into the digital space. And I think they, for me, are the brand which will kind of really, really dominate the space, who will kind of bring things to life in a way where they just have the budgets to play with. And the other one there is Burberry, which is kind of focusing a little bit more on NFTs. It was just at the end of summer, they did a big launch to kind of tap into the, they were of course one of the first brands, luxury brands, tapping into TikTok. They have budgets for like innovation, and they did a collaboration with, it was a gaming company, and they did a drop, I think it's called Mystical Games, and they did a drop where it was, again, limited run of products. They had their sort of standard monogram on, which looked really, really cool. And then they had the level of sort of resale value there as well. So it was, again, it was having a limitation to the actual NFT. It was all decentralized and on a blockchain. I think it brought to life that whole idea of consumers getting a little bit more into that digital space.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, like when you say Nike, of course, like I think that they can definitely play around a lot when it comes to digital like goods, like virtual ones, but also the physical ones. Because if you think about it, my personal opinion is that, I mean, now there is all this peak of the NFTs, everyone is crazy about it. But after a while, maybe you're going to realize, okay, if we play the same game that we feel that this has a value, that's okay. But still, you know, it's going to take a while before people get like maybe more value to something that is only virtual over physical, right? So my idea is that maybe someone like Nike could be like, okay, if you buy these in the metaverse, then you can get maybe have a promo code, whatever, to like real Nikes. Like this reminds me a bit of, Chipotle, that during our Halloween, what they had done, it is that it was like, come to the metaverse, it's going to be a Chipotle restaurant. The first, I think, 20,000 people, I think, or something like that, they got there. They gave away like, I think, 1 million worth of free burritos, okay? But you had to go there, and then it was like a maze. And if you were able to do the maze into Roblox, you were able to get the promo code. That, I think, is smart, because you are playing with the metaverse, but you have an actual value in the real world, right? Because you play with that, you have fun, you get into Roblox, you have the Chipotle, you are smart because you are getting like all the attention because of that, but your customer at the end of the day can go and eat a real, a real burrito. Because I was reading that also, what if like tomorrow, you can go and buy a virtual coffee at Starbucks? Yeah, that's okay. How many times are we going to do that? I mean, like, maybe you can do that, but it's not the same as drinking a real coffee, right? So I think that, especially at the beginning, to get people used to, you're going to have that link between, I play with that, but I still have benefits in my daily life, right? Because if not, again, what is the point? You can spend money. People do that, like, in-app purchases in games. You spend coins on a sword, on a helmet, whatever, like anything like that, that is not real. And some people are okay with that, but it's still in a way like a niche, right? Compared to the global scale of everyone, right? And all the everyone that is not really into esports and gaming and so on, they are not really still adapting to the idea of spending real money for something that is only virtual. They're going to need something in return in real life, let's say. And so again, it could be clothing, could be food, but you need that. Because if not, if everything just ends inside the avatar, I think that it might be interesting for a while, but on the long term, right? Brands have to think at the long term. Like a lot of them, they do short term because it's hot, so let's go there. But I was also reading that a lot of brands are not thinking it thoroughly. So what they're doing, they're minting NFTs. They are creating coins. They are doing this, they're doing that. But what about your brand values? What about your customers? I can see personally a lot of short terms, little tactics, but not long-term strategies as of now, because everyone is running, right, in a rush, like to be there, right? So I don't know if you think it differently on these, but this is mostly what I'm seeing, right? Everyone is rushing on that, but it's missing for the majority of brands, I'd say, someone in the company that has a really understanding what is happening and how to actually go step by step to having something that is not just against a hot topic throw there like during a conference call, but actually something that is going to be part of the bigger plan, right, in the company.
Yeah, I was just going to say on that, I think we will see a shift in like perceived value by consumers in that sense. And so let's say if it's, if you want to flex on someone right now, you might buy a Ferrari, or you might buy a Rolex watch, or you might, like, there will be a shift at some point. Can't say when it's going to be, but there will be a shift where flexing is your digital avatar, what you're wearing, or your, and it will come down to NFTs. Some of these things are selling for crazy, crazy amounts of money. Personally, I don't see the value. I genuinely don't see the value, but that's opinion. That's opinion based. I think there's definitely something to them, but that will be wealth to whether right now it's just a minority. In the future, to I think a lot of consumers, wealth will be digital wealth in that sense.
I also have the opinion that there is sometimes a lot of hype and it's mostly FOMO, I'd say. So I think that later on it's going to maybe stabilize more. So as at the beginning, in the real world, everyone was hyping for something and giving crazy money for anything. Then the internet came along. We saw everyone like the dot era with the boom and everything that happened, right? With pest.com and all the others, because everyone were rushing there, right? All the VC, all the big banks and everything was like, here you are 1 billion spending on the internet. And now it's like, here you are 1 billion, even more spending on the whatever it is now and this NFT on this, on that. So I'd agree with you, Ash, on that, because it's going to definitely need to stabilize. And when we're going to have a stabilization on prices, we're going to have an idea of what is what, then I think that it's going to be global scale. Because in that case, everyone is going to be like, okay, it does make sense. I don't have to spend this crazy amount of money to be in the metaverse. And so I think that's why, like, some people say it's like it's going to take 24 months, I said it's gonna take some years minimum to get the people. It's a big shift. Like, it's something never happened in the past. Already internet disrupted many things. Like, before it was crazy to think about it, to talk like this in different places in the world. And now it's gonna be into the metaverse. So especially for a lot of people, it's gonna take a lot of years to get used to, but it's definitely interesting to see that. So, unless any of you want to still talk about any other case studies, do we have anything interesting before we go and move forward with the next and the last item? Marcella, do you have any case studies that you want to share?
Yeah, I was going to say about the whole flexing thing. It's okay. Already happening. Like, people don't flex like Ferraris, they flex NFTs. So, for example, I wanted to bring you this case study, which I find really interesting, about sneakers, because sneakers are like a main status driver. So this crypto artist known as Fishus collaborated with Artifact Studios and made like 600 pairs of sneakers with just three different styles. And they were sold, all of them, for a total of $3.1 million. So, and they were NFTs.
Wow. I mean,
this is already happening, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we went from a secondary market, and I still see that, like, here in New York City. I go sometimes in the morning, I see people do queues, like crazy queues in front of sneaker shops, because maybe there is a drop collections. And a lot of kids, a lot of people, they are really making like more than a living, I'd say, because they buy that for $200, right? So I do imagine something like that, like, in not just in the future, but like now. You go to Roblox, there is gonna be a drop collection from someone from the real world, okay, that is well known, an authority, someone with influence. Then we're gonna talk about that like later, but in a bit. But you have an influence in the real world, you go to the metaverse, you have a drop collection, I guess, of, let's say, 200 of these shoes. Because of NFTs and everything, you can easily create them. You don't need like production. You like, with your tools, you create 200 of them. They are like unique. And then I imagine that still in the metaverse, you can meet with other people that were not able to get it, like one of those 200 pairs, and you can resell them for more. And then in a month, they're going to be like, if the starting price was like $500, going to be 1,000, 2,000. I mean, there are shoes sold for $450,000, you know. And again, it's just about, the reselling, the idea, and then that is just economy. It's demand and offer.
One of the most important things about these items is the community around it, because the community is what really brings value to the item, not only the item itself, but the community around it. So I think one of the most important elements of the metaverse is the community, because the community allows co-creation and collaboration in the metaverse.
I'm just going to say, as when you're saying about people queuing for sneakers, I sadly have been that person once before. Even if you just use that as an example of just how that process works, so it would have been that you would physically have to queue. Now you can virtually queue, as an example. So then taking that further and sort of bringing in the metaverse, you can have your avatar virtually queue, and the brand can also then potentially see how many times have you queued, how many times have you got the product. Like, all of this data, all of this information will help to kind of bring transparency on so many different levels as well. Of course, there'll be people who try and hack the system, and sort of there always is, which again is a really interesting thing. But I think the way the metaverse can help and benefit in so many different ways, I think, is more interesting and exciting than what a lot of people are now saying with Facebook trying to own it and data breaches and all that sort of stuff. I think there's a lot of more excitement than sort of worry from the way I see it.
Yeah, no, of course. And then when you say, like, you know, about talking about the queuing process and everything, you will still have to, I guess, like, you know, queue in a system where you when you log in, you know, like, you go there, there's going to be a sort of ping, whatever, like, based on your position, you're going to get in the queue. But I'm pretty sure that, like, as you, I know that, like, you know, I mean, everyone knows that there are people that get paid to go in the queue for you, right? What if tomorrow in the virtual world, like in the metaverse, it's going to be people that are going to get paid just, like, you know, to be, you know, there, right, and get the pair. So, and people with more money are going to pay more extra, like, you know, just to be there. So again, if you think, like, every job that exists, like, now in the real world can be just transposed, like, and shifted, like, in the metaverse. And so, yeah, it's going to be, like, definitely maybe less time consuming on the one end, but on the other, I think that people are going to still find ways, right? And as you say, like, people are going to try to hack the system to get like more things. Either like it's gonna be there. But yeah, I do also agree about the data. Like now it's a bit difficult to track what you do in real life because you know what you do in your phone, yes, everything's tracked. But in real life, a lot of retailers still have these difficulties in going from online to offline conversion tracking, right? But if you're gonna be in the metaverse, it's gonna be trackable. Like everything is gonna be trackable. You move for like one pixel, the system will know. So if you with your Oculus, you know, like you're gonna see an advertisement in the metaverse is gonna charge it as an impression. We're gonna now start to wrapping up all of these, talking about what we really care about, that is the, you know, influencer marketing industry, right? Again, being an agency, we are in the loop of what is happening. We have seen it change it a lot, you know, since 10 years ago, it was for a lot of people was a hobby, influencer marketing, right? It was like, oh, it's a set gig. They're going to make $100. That's it. And we know for sure that there are people who paid six digits for an integration of half a minute on YouTube, you know? And there are people asking millions for maybe a long-term type of project. So that said, how do you envision, guys, influencer marketing and influencers and you know, content creators, but more than content creators, because again, there is also a big difference there, right? Someone is creating content, okay, whatever, but let's talk about influencer. People that have a trust towards like an audience, they are usually known for something in a specific niche or industry, and they have this relationship of influence, you know, like to the others. Imagine something like, hey guys, tomorrow, what, it's Sunday, whatever, you're gonna find me in Roblox. I'm gonna be into this stage. I'm gonna talk about these, and the first 1,000 people are gonna get my digital signature, whatever, and a promo code for a new drop, something like that, you know? Do like the influencers need to do like even education how to get into metaverse? Like, how do you see it? Like, it's gonna be easy. It's gonna take a lot of time. I don't know what is your idea there, because I'm still, I have a lot of thoughts about it, but nothing really solid yet.
I'm just gonna say, I think there will be the continuing shift in power. So I think it's what we're seeing sort of right now in terms of the brands. The brands need influencers at the end of the day. They need eyeballs. They need access. They need communities. There's only a certain amount they can do themselves. So I think they will still continue to spend on content creators and influencers as such. I think looking at sort of the creator economy sort of side of things, I think the influencers will be able to create their own worlds and expand their communities. But I don't think it will be all of the influencers. And I think that's a great thing. I think there will be so many influencers who will just lose their way around all of this because they will stay on certain platforms. And I think it's a great thing because I when we look at so many sort of different influencers, I don't think they are innovating. They should be, and they are as creative as they should be. I think the influencers who will do very well will shift from right now, let's say if they've got a team or they currently hire a videographer, I think the influencers who will do very well will be hiring coders and blockchain engineers, and there will be a huge shift in terms of what their requirements are as well, so that they can sit themselves in the position they need to be. So there will definitely be some winners, as there always are when there's any sort of transition in technology or social media platform. But yeah, I think it's a really interesting time for the influencers and the creators who are actually kind of on board with this rather than kind of just getting left behind.
I think we will see also, okay, some people will not join that, but we will see more and more virtual influencers. Like, for example, we already have a lot of virtual influencer, fictional influencer. So you as a persona in the physical world, you project yourself, your values, your personality in a virtual persona, and anyone can do that. Like we see with massive interactive live events. So for example, the concerts like Ariana Grande, Travis Scott, there have been a lot of artists doing that. They do like these live events, so I don't really see the trouble like influencer doing that too, you know, like virtual meetups and so on, what you already mentioned.
Yeah, especially like, you know, if you think like, you know, meetups, that is going to be quite cool because a lot of influencers might be in a city that is not that known or a small city, and maybe it's difficult to fly people there, like, and everything. But what if you meet, like, you know, you do the metaverse, and in the metaverse, you're going to do a meetup that is sponsored by a brand, you know? So you go there and you can have, like, you know, so many people all together instead of maybe doing like, you have to imagine like now you have to go there, you have to rent a big place that costs a lot of money. You need security, you need permission. If there is music, you need like licenses. If there is alcohol involved, like it's a mess. But if you go in the metaverse, like you need your computer, you need your iPhone or your smartphone, or your Android, whatever it is, you know, you go there. You don't need like actual security. You didn't like, if you want to drink at home by yourself, it's on your own, you know, with like, you know, working, it's getting more and more remote and a lot of people are benefiting from it. I see also like potentially a benefit from like doing these type of events. And imagine also for the brand, it might be spending less because like if you have now to spend for like rent a place and be there with the physical banners or whatever, you know, it's going to cost you more because the influencer is going to be like, okay, it's cool, but I have to pay all these people. If you can cut cost, the brand can maybe put the same amount of money, not less, but all of them in just getting the return of that, you know, to sponsor your thing. Or I imagine, for example, Facebook, now Meta, did this thing like called Main Street. Have you ever tried that one, Main Street? Have you tried that, Ash?
No, I've heard of it, but I've not tried it.
Have you, Marcella? Have you been into
the advertisement?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So for anyone listening that doesn't know, like the, you know, Meta and did this thing like where you can say what you like. Yeah, I'm interested in clothes. I'm in this location, whatever. Some questions about you, and you can walk into the street and you can like, you know, move around. I did it just with on my like computer. So like, you know, I can just like move around with the, you know, keys and everything. But the idea is that you can go with the Oculus, you know, and you can look around and you're going to find shops that are made as Instagram ads. Okay. So you can look around. And since I said, I'm interested in clothes and yada, yada, Facebook, like again, now Meta wanted to push a lot of small businesses. So it was like, instead of just having to go physically to go to the space or scrolling that sometimes like, you know, it's a bit boring. What if I walk around into this main street, look around and I see other things, but then I also see an advertisement that is embedded in a native way in the metaverse. And then maybe I can click on it, I guess with the Quest, I can just, you know, use the device and click on it and maybe I can buy there. And also, I think it's going to be interesting also for brands because maybe especially at the beginning, I think that people will buy products just to try. You know, like it's going to be like, let me see. Like, or maybe it's going to also be cool to say like, hey, I just bought this hoodie or whatever, like just on the metaverse. Or is it like, it's going to be like digital? No, actually, I bought it there, but it's going to get to my apartment. So in the metaverse, I tried it on, like because there is all the VR and AR, I can do these things. I try it on. I like that on my avatar or whatever. And then I clicked a link. And I imagine, especially with Instagram shops and now TikTok, once you do the first purchase, billing address, billing info and credit cards or Apple Pay, whatever, it's in the system. So imagine that with a click of a button or with my Oculus again, I can just select it and I'm gonna automatically buy it. And I can continue working in the metaverse. And I'm gonna get a notification that it was shipped and that's it. You know, so again, that's why I think for brands is going to be quite interesting to adapt into something like that. And also having, but you're going to need, I think, influencers. Why? Because you need someone that can guide you in the metaverse. If not, it's going to be pretty chaotic and people are going to get bored, you know, by all these advertisements, right? We envision like an influencer marketing campaign in the metaverse. It's going to be mostly be like cold sort of advertisements, like getting there by these. It's going to be more about gamification. I don't know. Have you thought about a potential influencer marketing campaign into the metaverse? How would it work?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I guess answering that question is with an example is some of the trends, let's say on TikTok. So like BookTok is a huge thing or education is a huge thing. And the way you can see that sort of playing out and actually changing and shifting digitally is, as an example, if you've got a younger consumer, let's say, and depending if there's limitations on the age you're required, but I think you can have a closed group in that sense. So have 100 people and check the age demographics, etc. But you could have story time each night, and that could be with an influencer. So it's a brand or a publisher, etc. I know we're working with some publishers right now, and it'd be really interesting to try something like this. But it's like it's a story time and it's a bedtime reading, which you pay a certain amount, which is a subscription, let's say X number of times per month, which you do, which your kids can then access. And it's their avatars, their profiles, and it will be an influencer, it will be a creator who is reading the book, but it can also have a level of engagement to it as well. And then you can also have your class friends there. Do you know what I mean? It's like that as a bedtime, it can be very, very interactive, as long as it's something which is also switching off your body. So I think that's the other thing. It can't be going digital at night, but there will be ways sort of around that, is building some sort of ecosystem. It might be less visual and more audio. So like you can see how that will shift, but I think it will really disrupt education and so many different worlds. And for brands which are not so savvy on influence marketing or social media right now, I think they will see some of these things creeping up and actually really sort of jump onto it.
And also, like, now that I'm, you know, you're telling about like audio and video, but there is something also interesting. I was talking to another event, you know, with other big players like Adobe and Google. We were talking about the metaverse, and we were talking about how in the past like 20 years we got used to vertical, and especially in the last 5 years, but tomorrow we might go back to horizontal. Because if you think about it, like the metaverse, it's horizontal, like the Oculus and all the devices are horizontal, because we're going to go back to the real vision as animals, right? Like with the attention of our eyes and everything. So again, this is maybe for another episode, but it's going to be interesting also to see, are we going to stick with vertical? That is not really natural. If you think about it, it's not natural. By nature, we see in horizontal, but because of the device, we got into vertical. Is the metaverse going to change again to horizontal, or are we going to get an hybrid, you know? So that is also interesting, again, for influencers that now are shooting mostly vertical. Are they going to have to change back in not just horizontal, but 360, for example?
If you enter it from your mobile, it will be for sure vertical. So we'll have a double experience, maybe, depends on the experience you're experiencing, or horizontal. Like, for example, we got used to TVs, so we will get used to have an Oculus at home or some sort of smart glasses like Ray-Ban. Like Ash said, like, for example, the book talk, the book trending, the book reading is going to be all about experience. As long as you have the digital form of it and you can add the social element to it, you're going to be successful in the metaverse, I think.
Yeah, it does make sense. I mean, that said, unless anyone wants to add something, but I'd say that, you know, was quite a lot of, there was a lot, there was technology, was anthropology, there was a lot into that, you know, social and, you know, psychology, a lot into that, right? Because again, people might think as of now as something for kids, something for gaming, but it's so much more. It might be the beginning of a new revolutionary system for everything, right? So it was quite interesting. So, thank you so much for joining me. It was really a nice, interesting conversation. The both of you, I think that we got a lot of items. And of course, you know, just for everyone listening, last time, you know, in the first episode, we talked about anything about the creator economy in the first episode. The second episode was about TikTok trends. Today is about the metaverse. The next one is going to talk about, little spoiler, about the social commerce, something also really interesting. So anyone listening here on YouTube or on Spotify, you can also check different clips on YouTube. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, like you name it. We are there. And you're going to also find a lot of different clips. And moreover, also what we advise, we're going to add all of these things that we talked about, an interesting article in the description. So everywhere you're listening or watching us, you're going to find them, because in that case, you can also dive in a bit more. Again, it's just the beginning, but our advice is to start getting into at least reading about it, because you don't want to get too late. That could be about the metaverse itself, could be about the future of influencer marketing and social media in general. But again, it's the time, I'd say, to start looking into that before it's too late. Again, thank you so much. This was fun, and see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Bye.